Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone. Solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Most of the time, the misunderstanding when it comes to the fundamental nature of law and gospel, a distinction that has its roots not only in the 16th century Reformation, but all the way back to Holy Scripture itself. Sometimes the misunderstanding is so profound, you can't even imagine how bad it is. There was a survey taken. Now we're talking almost, 10, 15 years ago, among Lutherans who should know the difference between law and gospel, and a fair number, I think somewhere approaching 60% of them, when asked the question, it was multiple choice, what is the gospel, chose the answer, and the right answer was in there, they didn't choose it, chose the answer, God's rules for right living. Sometimes a misunderstanding is a little more subtle when they learn the distinction between God's law that says what you ought to do and God's gospel that shows you what Christ has done for you to save you, we conclude, well, the law is bad and the gospel is good. Isn't it that simple? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Live this Tuesday afternoon, the 15th of November, George Burghardt is our guest for the better part of this hour of Issues Etc. We'll talk about the gift of God's law in the last few minutes. We'll hear your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line and respond appropriately. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor George Burghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled, The Gift of God's Do's and Don'ts. George, welcome back.
Howdy. How's it going?
Very well. How are you?
You know, I've been a year in the Midwest here. I think I'm learning that I'm allergic to the Midwest. I love my parish, but man, the air here is just killing my voice. I'm doing the best I can, I suppose. But I never used to lose my voice in the South, but up here in northern Illinois, man, my voice is hurting.
Well, if my experience is any indication, I have lived in the St. Louis area within 25 miles of the Mississippi River for the last 25 years, and it doesn't get any better. Okay, so just brace yourself. You have 24 more years of increasing allergies.
I'm not going anywhere. I love this place, but I can't get any water out of the air. It's not humid enough, so I guess. I don't know.
This for our listeners' sake, he should know that he hails originally from far south and then most proximately from Houston, Texas, where it's about half air and water down there, I believe. Most of the people are amphibious.
Yeah. Graduated from the national, the number one team in the nation, college, LSU, Louisiana State University. Number one.
He has to mention this every time we talk with him. This classic distinction between law and gospel that goes not only to the Reformation, but back to Scripture itself, where in God's law, he shows us what we must do, and in the gospel, he shows us what Christ has done to save us. Sometimes people will then conclude, law, bad, gospel, good. How do you respond?
Well, I would say the law is a gift and the gospel is a gift. The law is not bad. The law is good. It's given by God. It's given by God for our good. Everything which comes from God in creation is good. And so can't really conclude that the law is bad. The reason why we think the law is bad is because we don't do the law. If we did the law perfectly, we would have the false misleading dream that we could save ourselves. So says the hymn, if we did the law perfectly, we would be able to save ourselves. But since we can't, then the law accuses us. There's that lex semper accusat bit that we learned while we were in confirmation. The law is always accusing us and condemning us and judging us. This is why sometimes we'll say something as pastors that we mean not to condemn someone, and they immediately become condemned. It's not us that's saying it. It's that they're hearing it as law, and that law always condemns us. It drags us down. Ever since Eve ate, well, Adam with her, from the fruit that God told him not to eat from, which was the knowledge of good and evil. Ever since then, we've been covering ourselves up and covering our sins up, and therefore running from the law that's written on our hearts and thinking it's bad, when actually it's the best thing in the world for us. A good dose of law is what's needed to save us.
So I'll ask the question, I think St. Paul was the first to ask this one. How can the law, which is good, in essence, prove to be death to me? It proves to be the worst possible thing that could happen to me.
Well, dying isn't so bad, because we need to die to our sins. It's given as a gift. Let's shoot back to the Ten Commandments. I, the Lord your God, brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Thanks be to God. Can you get any greater gospel than that? He's the one that saved us from our bondage to sin. And then he says, you shall have no other gods before me. And well, thank God we don't have to have any other gods. You shall not misuse my name. Oh, we'll call upon it in every prayer, praise, and give thanks. And so forth down the line. It's only until we look at God and say, all that you say we'll do, whoops, we won't do it. And so the law, which is given as a gift to us, becomes something which kills us because we don't do it. The law kills us. It slays us. It damns us to hell. It does these things which we don't like on the surface, but is exactly what we need to be saved, because unless we die to our sins, we'll never hear the gospel, that good news of forgiveness. I think that's the greatest gift of the law. It kills us. It kills me, and I need to be killed. I need to be drowned in my baptism and in repentance and contrition. I need to die to this world so that I can live for God in righteousness and purity, which is to live for God in Jesus.
So even the law that God gives, knowing full well that it will do its work against our sin and kill us, even that is God's good gift?
Oh, yeah. The law is good and wise, you know, because when he deals with us by means of the law, see, this is when we set the chart up, law and gospel, you're right, we do think, okay, the gospel's good and the law is bad. Well, without that word of law to call us to repentance, the gospel means nothing. If you haven't been forgiven of, if you're forgiven of $100 million, all right, well, suddenly you have a new appreciation for the word of forgiveness. If you've only been forgiven $10, well, it's like, well, you know, that's nothing. I can make that up on my own. It's when the law does its thing on you and it beats you down, and every time you pop your head back up to defend yourself, the law pushes you back down. And like a child, like my children do, we always have to get the last word, and we try to get that last word with the law of God. Well, no, you don't understand. If you just understood what I was going through, if you just understood the extenuating circumstances, and the law says, no, you sin, you die. And until we've been shut up, because we need to be shut up, then we'll never hear that word of gospel, which is that Jesus word that's going to forgive us of our sins. And so even though the law kills me, that's a good thing. even though the law always accuses me. That's a good thing. It's a gift from God. And if we have any doubts about that, faith believes that everything is good from God, which would include the law, which is condemning us.
So without the law, the gospel itself is what? Is irrelevant?
It doesn't have sweetness.
There's no sweetness to it.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm not going to use LSU as an example. Okay, I will. If LSU runs the table and goes 14-0 and never plays a good opponent, it doesn't really mean anything. It's not a true test of what's going on. But every single time they beat a top 10 opponent, it just further shows how great of a team they are. Well, it gives the thing meaning. If the law doesn't come and condemn us and tell us that there, not only have we sinned against God, but we sinned against our neighbor too, and we've done this, and it covers everything that we've done is filthy with our sin, and we're not lovable. There's nothing lovable inside of us. That's what the law says. There is nothing worth dying for inside of you and me that God would see that's worth dying for. See, there's the problem. We look at ourselves and we go, God's like a grandfather. He looks at Todd and George, and he goes, they do some bad things, but golly gee willikers, I just love them anyway. That's the way we think. But in actuality, we're not just simply, we're simply bad grandsons. But we are firing and launching weapons at God all the time. We're doing the worst things we could possibly do to him daily and much. We're cussing him out. We're doing bad things on his lawn. We're doing everything we could possibly have to tell him over and over again, we don't need you. We could be our own God. We got to be silent.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Pastor George Borghardt. Doesn't sound like a gift, but it is the gift of God's law.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Pastor George Borghardt about the good gift of God's law. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, author of an article in the recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled "The Gift of God's Dues and don'ts. Before we go on, George, tell us a little bit about Higher Things.
Higher Things is a national Lutheran youth organization which promotes Lutheran identity amongst young people. What we do is we have conferences and retreats and a magazine and radio and internet videos which promote the historic traditional Lutheranism amongst young people, sort of like a modern-day Walther League. So if you're thinking back and thinking about the Walther League and how things went with the Walther League, that's Higher Things. A group which promotes good Lutheranism with young people.
Folks, you can find out more about Higher Things under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Someone listening to us, and you put it in pretty stark terms in the last 10 minutes, George, might say you Lutherans are simply defeatists.
I know.
There are do's and don'ts, but and yes, it sounds like God is demanding all these things, but what he really is looking for in you is good intention. It's not so much do or don't, they would say. It's try. What do you say?
Well, you know, trying doesn't cut it. If I do something wrong with my wife, she's been married to me for a good 15 years, and she puts up with an awful lot. And I look at her and say, well, at least, I mean, I do something horrific to her. At least I tried. That's probably not going to work. There's really no points for trying. You either do or you don't do. With God, it's either you are perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, or you're not. And if you're not, well, then, okay. But if you are, well, then, blessed are you. But if you're not, well, then you get hell, which was prepared before you, for the devil and all his angels. And in Romans, it's very clear. No one is righteous. No one is. No one stands before God forgiven. Everybody's breathing falsehood against their neighbor, and everybody's trying to do evil things. Even when we do something good, every now and again, I do a good work. I back into it on my own. But then I spoil it by thinking, well, look at how good I am. Boom, done. Ugh. You know, and the business, again, it's that opinion that we're somehow better with God than we actually are. He's going to cut us some slack. That's the root of this. It's the Phariseeism of believing that we're doing the best we can and God's going to count the best we can as working. If that's the case, then why is Jesus hanging there dead on the cross? Because if God's going to take our best try, like my father used to say, when the one great score comes to count against your name, it counts not how you won or lost, but how you played the game. Okay, well, that's good, but why is Jesus hanging there dead answering for the crimes of the world? And why did I put him there with my sins? Why am I one of the guys that are screaming, crucify him, crucify him, and if you're the Christ, come down from the cross? Why is that? Because if we're okay on our own, why is he hanging there? Come Christmas is another good thing. If everything is good between us and God, everything is just, you know, try it and it'll work out. Do the best you can. If everything's okay, why is God taking on our flesh and sitting in a cold manger, food trough? Why is he doing that? If everything's okay, why is Jesus taking on my flesh? And the answer is, it's not okay between God and man. And the only way it's going to be fixed is by Jesus coming and taking on my flesh to do two things. Now, here comes the gospel. He's going to do two things. He's going to keep the law and fulfill the law, which we would call the active obedience of Christ. He's going to keep the law perfectly. All of God's do's and don'ts, he's going to do and don't. And then he's going to count all those do's and don'ts as if I've done them. And then he's going to pay the punishment for all the times that I don't do what I should do and do what I shouldn't do. So that is the passive. He's going to bear the sin of the world. And so by doing both of those, he wins forgiveness for us. All right? I've got a lot of Roman Catholics that are converting to Lutheranism at Zion, and all of them, their eyes get wide when we talk about a scale, which is that sort of traditional understanding that our good and bad is like a scale. where our good is going to outweigh our bad. But Roman Catholics know, like Lutherans, everybody knows, actually, that our good's never going to outweigh our bad. No amount of penance or trying is going to balance the scale that our good should make our good outweigh our bad. Flowers with my wife is not going to make up for hollering at her. What's going to take is Jesus. When you drop Jesus on the good and bad scale, there is no scale anymore. There is only salvation. When he proclaims us to be righteous, we are righteous. It doesn't matter anymore what we did and didn't do, because he's paid it. And he has now declared us innocent before God and forgiven. And that is what holds on the last day. And until you've heard that law, which has made you so scared that you want, like my confirmation class is looking up at me and going, no more, please, no more. Don't say another word of law, please, Pastor. No more law. We get it. We're going to hell. Until you're at that point, then the word of forgiveness, but now, a righteousness has appeared apart from the law and the prophets. Even the law and prophets testified of it. The law, the righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There's no distinction. All sin falls short of what God requires, and all are justified, declared forgiven freely by what Jesus did on the cross, answering for our sins.
Mike listens in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for being patient.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Welkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a great resource. And first I want to say to you, Pastor Borghardt, that my wife is a former Roman Catholic, and she is now a confessional Lutheran. So I think you and her both made a really good move there.
And yay!
Yay! So I wonder if you might comment about this. One of the things I noticed in evangelicalism has to do with they just don't really have two distinct categories for separating law and gospel. And the illustration I would give would be what Augustine wrote concerning the way the law is applied within the two kingdoms, and Martin Luther also upheld that. And it has to do with within the earthly realm, we receive a reward or punishment based upon how we keep the law. But within the heavenly realm, we receive reward and punishment based upon how Christ kept the law. And if you confuse those two, then you lose the gospel. And evangelicals, they don't have those categories.
Interesting observation, Mike. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. George?
You could also say they don't understand that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All of the proper distinction between law and gospel and salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and the fact that there's one righteousness which God requires and one righteousness which God gives, is all the same thing. And you're right. It's not only the Roman Catholics that mess up the distinction between law and gospel. It's also the evangelicals and our friends in the Baptists. That's not to look down on them. It's just that they don't grasp that the law is that simple thing that Luther said made it all clear. The law is one thing, and the gospel is another. The law is one thing, the gospel is another. Let's not separate those, but let's distinguish the two. The law shows us our sin. It shows us what we've done before God, and it proclaims to it delivers to us condemnation. The gospel delivers to us Jesus. It doesn't show us Jesus. It delivers to us Jesus, his righteousness, the forgiveness he achieved for us on the cross. And in the gospel, we stand forgiven. The world works by law. Schools, Christian schools work by law. You pay tuition, the kid goes to school. You don't pay tuition, you don't get the kid to go to school. But the gospel is a totally different kingdom where you get what Jesus earned. And that's how we stand before God.
Let's talk to Joe in St. Louis. We might have to wait to the other side of the break for a response. But Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Todd. The gospel reading coming up this Sunday is the final judgment of Christ, or the Son of Man, separating the sheep and the goats, and the sheep being the ones who fulfilled the law. But in the last part of that, he hits on the omission. When you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And this, how do people living by the law, how do they face that? I mean, how do we face the law of omission? I mean, that's the frankly, it's scary when you read it. It's very scary, and you say, holy cow, there's no way I'm doing all the good I could possibly do. If your guest could kind of comment on that a little bit, thanks.
All right, when we come back, we'll get a response from Pastor George Borghardt. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled The Gift of God's Do's and Don'ts. We're coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We'll respond to Joe's call in just a minute. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Also, when we come back, we've kind of laid aside this notion that you can try harder, do better, and somehow get closer to that righteousness that avails before God. There is only one righteousness that avails before God. There is only the righteousness of one man that avails before God. How does God deliver it to us? Pastor Borghardt has said that the gospel doesn't show us Jesus, it delivers Jesus. How does that happen? We'll answer that question along with Joe's question after this. The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November, is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
More good news about adult stem cell treatment.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Professors at Tel Aviv University are reporting exciting news in stem cell research. Wanting to avoid the ethical and safety issues related to harvesting embryonic cells, researchers used stem cells from patients' own blood marrow. They then developed a process to differentiate these cells into other types, including those responsible for brain health. They believe the cells can be used to slow down motor degeneration seen in such diseases as ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Another benefit? Because the cells are from patients themselves, risk of adverse reactions are very small.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. About another 10 minutes with Pastor George Borghardt talking about the gift of God's law on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 15th. A question before the break from Joe in St. Louis, essentially about sins of omission. It kind of boils down to, well, I didn't do the don'ts, but I'm still not out of the woods because I didn't do the do's either. The sins of omission. Talk about that if you would.
I love the sheep and the goats. It's the parable that gets Jesus killed. The Pharisees hear the parable of the sheep and the goats, and they're like, he's got to go. This guy's got to die. Because he calls the Pharisees don'ts, as Pharisees goats. Right, we're not saved by doing or not doing, or not omitting or not missing one. That's life under the religion of the law, and it's a very scary thing. The sheep are sheep because he puts them on his right. He talks about them, and he talks about their works. He lifts them up. When you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And their response is, what are you talking about? Okay, Jesus, we'll let you talk about our works, and we'll just cling to you. I guess they say, bah, man, as my friend says. On the flip side, the goats, the Pharisees, they're all about what they do. Notice they've got good works to spare. When didn't we? When didn't we feed you when you were hungry? When didn't we take care of you when you were thirsty or visit you in prison? Well, you missed the least of these. You missed me. With the law and the religion of the law and living in the law, if you hold up your works before God and you miss one, that's the response from God. You missed it, and you missed me. Salvation by grace through faith is as certain as Jesus. Salvation under the law is only as certain as you. And that's why, you know, sort of when we talk about once saved, always saved as Lutherans, we reject it, but we reject it differently. Your salvation is as certain as Jesus. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Oh, that's beautiful. You want to make salvation all about you? Well, then, that's as losable as you are losable. Cool. And let's not make that a law. Well, I want to make my salvation all about Jesus. No, that's turning it into a law. Receiving Jesus, that's faith. Faith is receiving gifts from God. And so in the gifts of God, God delivers his salvation. In the waters of your baptism, the Lord washes your sins away, marks you as his own, says, my sheep, puts you on the right side. In the word, he proclaims to you that forgiveness, which is holy absolution. I forgive you all your sins, and with your sins forgiven, you have life and salvation. In communion, in the body and blood of Jesus, you receive into your mouth the body and blood of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you eat and drink salvation, and you are forgiven. And nothing, no work that you do or no work that you haven't done can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, because everything is based upon his death on the cross, which means I dare say there will be no heaven without you there because Jesus is there. Jesus is there, so I'll be there. And he's at the right hand of God, so I'll be at the right hand of God in him. To be in Christ is to be in heaven. Done deal. It's over with. Well, then the next question that's asked Paul is, well, Todd, does that mean we can sin willy-nilly that the grace may abound? What's the answer to that?
By no means.
By no means. Why? Once you've been rescued from the tomb, why would you live in the tomb any longer? You run out of the tomb, you look around and you go, what can I do for someone else? You see, the third use of the law as gift for the Christian is not, suddenly I pick up the law and do the law for God. Goodness gracious, God does not need you doing the law. Really? He doesn't need that. He's got Jesus. Well, you know who needs the law done? The people around you. They could really use a kind word. They could use you going the extra mile. They could use you visiting them in prison, or you feeding them, or you giving them drink. Those are the people who could use it, not to merit forgiveness. It's all taken care of by Jesus. But because you have been forgiven, and because Jesus has forgiven you, you can love and serve your neighbor. Free.
It occurred to me recently, because I often talk on this program about the dearth of the preaching of the real gospel, of Christ's work for sinners in a perfect life, death, and resurrection, in churches that call themselves Christian and that would tell you, we preach the gospel. We do it. We preach the gospel. What occurred to me, George, is that they think they're preaching the gospel because they think that a law that's more manageable, a do that's easier to do, broken down into smaller steps, is good news. They
right.
think that's gospel. Can you break it down into enough steps to make it doable?
No. No, you cover a turd in chocolate, it's still a turd. There's nothing that we can do that merits forgiveness. Even when you water down the law, all you're doing is making yourself a Pharisee, someone who thinks that they... And that's what the Pharisees did. They set up all these laws around the laws, and they could do those laws. That's life as a goat. It's terribly scary because you're always wondering, have you done enough? And then the real scary thing, do you believe enough? do you believe enough to convince God that you believe enough to be saved? Oh, no. No, Jesus, for me, he kept the law, even the first commandment, and he's rescuing me from my sins. And he has done the harshest law, and it killed him. And now he gives me forgiveness. The law disappearing is no comfort to me. The law being abolished or watered down is no comfort to me because it's still there, and it's still going to grab me, and it's still going to throw me into hell on the last day because it's not taken care of. But if Jesus fulfills the law, then he is the telos, the end of the law. It dies with him. He rises again from the dead. We rise with him in the waters of our baptism to live before God now, no longer afraid of the law and no longer afraid of death. Death and sin and law go together. Life, salvation, forgiveness, and Jesus, those go together.
So you said before that the gospel doesn't just show us Jesus. It delivers Jesus to us. What do you mean by that?
It makes it mine. All right, the cross of Christ is a law thing. I put him there. I put him there. I crucified the Lord of glory. It's the harshest law in the world. That's why Good Friday can be so depressing. When we forget that it's Good Friday, what the gospel does is it takes the cross of Christ and it delivers it to you and says, for you and for your salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and he became man. For you, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. For you, he was crucified. And for you, he raised from the dead. It makes it yours. And now it counts for me. And I stand before God forgiven. For you'd all the way into the very presence of God, so that there's nothing that's going to separate me and my dad, my father in heaven, and there's going to be nothing that separates me from my brother, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not anymore, because he has for you'd, for me'd, that gospel in the Word.
Two quick questions from listeners. Dan in Lincoln, Nebraska says, So I don't do the sins of commission. I do all that is required to avoid the sins of commission. I'm in the clear, right? Or is there still something that makes me a sinner?
Yeah. Even if I did everything, omission and commission, there's still Adam. It's not fair, but it's true. We inherit Adam's sin. We're born into Adam's guilt. And so we're born on the wrong team, too. Thanks, Dan. That's original sin. Even if I did everything that was required of me before God and didn't do everything that I shouldn't do, I would still be born on the wrong team, born into original sin. And Jesus, in the gospel, takes care of both.
And Randy says, God's law accuses and shows me my sin, but Satan, the accuser, accuses me too. How can I know the difference between these two types of accusation?
The partial truth that Satan has is that the law is right about you. He's accusing you with the law, and he's right on. That's the thing. It's not until you look at the law. Luther in the Galatians commentary, to be saved, you must ignore the law. You say, okay, law, you have your place. You've killed me. You've done me in. I'm done. I can't listen to you anymore. I must listen to Jesus, who says, God loved me this way. Not that I was lovable, but that he gave up his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, devil, you can go. You say you're chained up. Jesus is done with you. I can't listen to you anymore. And law, I can't listen to you anymore either, because I got nothing but sins. You got me. You're right. I'm going to listen to Jesus now. Now, that's not permission to do away with the law, but that's when your conscience is troubled and the devil is coming after you. You tell him to go back to where he came from. You tell him to go to hell. And you could take the law with you on this one, because Jesus died for me, and that is my righteousness before God.
Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and author of an article in a recent issue of Higher Things magazine titled God's Gifts of God's Do's and Don'ts. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Remember, any size gift is deeply appreciated. We are also looking for some major gifts, three major gifts in particular, a $12,000 donation to pay for all of our internet and phone costs for the year. Yes, that is how much it costs. It's very expensive. A $5,000 donation for our yearly rent of these offices and studios, and a $2,000 year-end contribution earmarked for all of our utilities for an entire fiscal year here at Lutheran Public Radio. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible contribution right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2011. When we come back, we'll respond to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Hey, St. Louis listeners. Our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year. But you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want. Issues Etc.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal at issuesetc.org.